أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا رسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. If you look at the various teachings of Islam, then you will find great importance has been placed on our social aspect, our social living. with regards to how we interact with others, how we deal with others, how we conduct with others, whether it is our parents, our siblings, our children, our neighbors, or society at large. And part and parcel of this teaching of Islam, the social aspect of our lives, is having a concern for the well-being and welfare of others. Whereas if you look into the teachings of the West, with regards to the capitalistic system that they have, importance is shown to me, myself, and I. Even if it means me harming you, even if it means me exploiting you, even if it means me taking advantage of you, the most important thing must be I must get benefit, I must get some gain from the interaction with you. But the teaching of Islam is different. The teaching of Islam is I will live and let others live. I will eat, but I will feed others as well. Hence, I will have a concern for the welfare, for the well-being of the person next to me as well. And this is something which was deeply entrenched in the lives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. In fact, if you look into the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed with the first wahi from the side of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes back home to the house of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is greatly concerned, how will I be able to fulfill this great obligation that has been placed upon me? Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala consoles him. She comforts him and she says, "Kalla wallah, ma yughzik Allahu abada. Innaka la tasilu rahim, wa tahmilu al-kal, wa taksibu al-ma'dum, wa taqri al-dayf, wa tu'inu ala nawa'ib al-haq." She says, by the qasam of Allah, Allah Ta'ala will never disgrace you. You have such qualities within you that Allah Ta'ala will not cause any disgrace, any humiliation to come to you. Rather, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala will always be with you. You have these qualities. What are these qualities? إِنَّكَ لَتَسِلُ الرَّحِيمُ. You join family ties. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ. You carry the burden of others. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومُ. You earn for those people who do not have the ability to do so. وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفُ. You host the guests. وَتُعِينُ عَلَىٰ نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. And at the time of natural disasters and difficulties, at the time when people are going through difficulties, you are there to help and assist them. Meaning you are involved in social activities, in social welfare. This brings about the mercy and the help of Allah Ta'ala to a person, not disgrace and humiliation. On one occasion in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person enters, and this person was a traveler, he was hungry. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees him, and he then sends a message to all of the Azwaj Mutahharat, to all the different homes, that is there anything within the homes with which we can feed this person. So from each and every home, the message comes back, there is nothing that we have with which we can feed him, we only have water. This was the condition in the life of Medina Munawwara at that time. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then makes announcement to the Sahaba that is there anyone willing to take this person home to feed him, to look after him? Hazrat Abu Talha Al Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, he volunteers and he says, "I will take him home." He then comes home to his honorable wife and he tells her that this is the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should not fall short in showing our hospitality to him. So he then asks her, is there anything that we have with which we can present to him? She responds and she says, by the qasam of Allah, besides a little bit of food that I have kept aside for our children, there is no other food available. There is no other food besides this little bit of food. He then tells her, listen, we're going to put the children off to sleep. Somehow we're going to get them to sleep. And then we will present the food to our guest. And that lamp that we have, we will pretend as though we're going to put the lamp right. But in this, we will extinguish the lamp, hence there will be complete darkness. And we will act as though we are partaking of that meal with the guest. So the guest does not feel shy in eating, but he will be able to eat to his full. In this way, the guest is able to partake of the food. And this entire family spends the night in this hunger. The next morning he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received wahi from the side of Allah with regards to what had transpired the night before. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs him, Allah ta'ala is extremely pleased with your action last night. And verses were revealed with regards to the conduct of the Ansar of Madinah Tayyibah. That part of their actions, part of their behavior, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They give preference to others even though they themselves are going through great need and difficulty. Even though they're going through hunger, even though they themselves are in need, they're still giving preference to others over themselves. Now we need to ask ourselves, our condition most of the time will be that we have enough to for ourselves and for others as well. Hence, at the time when people ask from us for the little bit of help, for the little bit of assistance, sometimes it may be people near us, sometimes it may be our employees, sometimes a person has a family member or his family is in neighboring countries, there's floods, there's droughts, there's poverty, I need a few thousand, I need a few hundred. At that time, let us not have this mindset that, no, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to spoil him. If I'm going to do this, then do not look at the relationship that you have with him. Look at this as an opportunity to earn mercy from the side of Allah. Look at this as an opportunity to earn great thawab and reward from the side of Allah. The conduct of Sahaba, يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, giving preference to others even though they themselves were in need. Here we have so much, can we not at least with a little bit help and assist the people around us? On one occasion, Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma is seated in i'tikaf in Masjid al-Nabawi. A person enters the masjid, he makes salam to him and he sits down. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala addresses him and says, listen, looking by your appearance, it seems you are perturbed, you're going through some difficulty, what's the matter? So he says that I have a debt that is due. I have a certain right that is due to someone today, and by the qasam of Allah, I do not have the means to fulfill this debt. Had I possessed the means, I would have definitely fulfilled it. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, okay, tell me, do you wish that I go and intercede on your behalf? Should I go speak to him for you? So this person says, yes, if you can. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala immediately takes his shoes and he leaves the masjid. So this person tells him that, have you forgotten what you are in i'tikaf? Why are you leaving the masjid now? You're in i'tikaf, you shouldn't be leaving. So I said, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, I can still remember the time his eyes begin to well with tears. I can still remember the time is still close, when the person who is, the honorable person who is residing in this qabr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had mentioned to me and he informed me, that man masha fi hajati akhi, wa balagha fiha, kana khayra lahu min i'tika fi ashara sinin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that person who goes out in order to fulfill a need of his Muslim brother, and he makes a concerted effort in trying to fulfill it, meaning he is trying to help him, he is trying to assist him. By him going out to do this, this is better for him than remaining in i'tikaf for 10 years. He then says further, and if a person remains one day in i'tikaf for the sake of earning the pleasure of Allah, Allah Ta'ala will make three trenches for him between him and the fire of Jahannam, each trench as wide as the distance between the heavens and the earth. Hence, so much of thawab, so much of reward for a person making an effort to help and assist others. In fact, in one beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us of how Allah Ta'ala will deal with us when we are helping and assisting others. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man nafasa an kurbatin min man nafasa an mu'minin kurbatan min kurabi dunya, nafasa Allahu anhu kurbatan min kurabi yawm al-qiyamah." That person who at the time of his Muslim brother's difficulty and hardship, he removes the difficulty from him in this world, then at the time of his greatest need, at the time when there is no one there to help him and assist him, meaning on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will remove a great difficulty from him. Because of him helping his brother in this world, the help of Allah will be with him at the time of his greatest need. That person who grants ease to a person in difficulty, Allah Ta'ala will grant him ease in this world and the akhirah. That person who conceals the faults of a Muslim, he does not go about exposing him. He does not advertise it on social media that look at this person. He does not bring disgrace and humiliation to his Muslim brother. Rather, he conceals his faults. Allah Ta'ala will conceal his faults in turn in this world and the akhirah. And the last words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, Wallahu fi auni al-abdi ma kana al-abdu fi auni akhi. Everyone wants the help and assistance of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the help and assistance of Allah will be with you as long as you remain in the help and assistance of your Muslim brother. As long as you are helping and assisting him, for that entire duration, you will enjoy the help and assistance from the side of Allah. And this helping and assisting is not only restricted to humanity. One beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions an incident of a person who was undergoing extreme thirst. He was very thirsty. And he comes across a well. He goes into the well, he drinks the water and he comes back up. When he comes back up, he sees a dog. And this dog is also extremely thirsty. So thirsty it has his tongue out and it is licking the mud on the ground. This person says he says to himself, that thirst that I was undergoing, that extreme thirst, that same thirst this dog is undergoing. He then goes back into that well. He removes his shoe in order to fill it with water. And he holds it on in his mouth. And he comes back up from that well. And he gives it to that dog. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah Ta'ala appreciated this action and it became the means of him earning forgiveness. It became the means of his forgiveness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked that, O Nabi of Allah, even in these animals, in so to say these dumb creatures, do we earn thawab and reward from the side of Allah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Fi kulli kabidin ratbatin ajrun, aw kama qal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in every living creature, by you showing mercy to it, by you showing compassion to it, by you being good to it, you can earn thawab and reward in the court of Allah. Now how can we help and assist others? How can we be good to others? So one is what we can term as the most obvious way, when we can say financial help and assistance. When a person is in poverty, person is begging, so we give some sadaqah. This is extremely valuable, great thawab and reward in the court of Allah. In fact, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who gives food to a mu'min who is hungry, that person who gives food to a mu'min who is hungry, Allah Ta'ala will grant him from the fruits of Jannah. That person who quenches the thirst of a believer who is thirsty, Allah Ta'ala will grant him from the special drink of Jannah, from Arahiqul Makhtum, the sealed nectar. That person who feeds, who clothes a mu'min who does not have sufficient clothes to cover himself, Allah Ta'ala will grant him from the special green clothing of Jannah. So indeed, to help people in this way is very meritorious, very great virtues for a person to spend on others financially. But together with this, in terms of financial help, will be for a person to also give loans, to advance loans to others. While we understand that to give sadaqah, to give charity, is an act of virtue, for a person to advance a loan to a person who is in need is also an act of virtue in the court of Allah. But what we need to understand, for a person to advance a loan in Islam, it does not merit a person to ask for something extra. Just as how a person, when he gives sadaqah to that poor person, when you give, for example, R100 to him, you're not expecting anything in return from him. In the same way, when you're giving a loan, this is also regarded as an act of virtue, as an act of sadaqah. You should not expect anything in return over and above the principal amount. Anything above the principal amount, any benefit that is given over and above the loan is termed as interest. It is completely haram and forbidden in Islam. Allah Ta'ala mentions very clearly in the Quran Majid, أَحَلَّ وَحَظَّمَ رِبَى. Allah Ta'ala has allowed business transactions and dealings in order for you to make money. If you want to earn some money and gain some wealth for you to sell commodities, this is what you want. However, when it comes to advancing loans, if you want to get, this is not a means that is allowed in Islam for a person to get any extra benefit from it, for a person to ask for anything extra. Once a person comes up to Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and he says, I have contracted an agreement with someone where I advanced a loan to him, but I told him in exchange of this, he needs to give me something extra. Advise me with regards to this. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, this is completely haram, it is riba, it is interest. So he says, advise me, what should I do? He then explains to him that, see, when it comes to loans, then there are three types. One is which a person advances the loan in order to earn thawab, in order to earn the pleasure of Allah. If this is his intention, he will earn the thawab, he will earn the pleasure of Allah in doing this. Great merits have been mentioned with regards to advancing loans. In fact, certain ahadith even mention that to give a loan is more meritorious than giving sadaqah. He then says the second type of loan is that you give a loan in order to please your friend, in order to please your companion. Your companion is going through difficulty. In order to bring about his pleasure, you give this loan, then you will obtain this also. And he says the third type of loan is where in exchange of something beneficial, in exchange of pure wealth, you are expecting something filthy in exchange of it. That is riba, that is interest, it is haram, it is not permissible. He says to him, immediately tear up and cancel this agreement. Immediately tear up and cancel this agreement. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith cursed different people with regards to interest. La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam akila riba wa mukilahu wa katibahu wa shahidayh. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the one who gives interest, curses the one who takes interest, curses the one who records the transaction, and those people who are witness to it. So when it comes to what we should understand, or what we should make an effort towards, that in when people have financial difficulty, and they come to us for loans, and they come to us for assistance, if we have the ability to help and assist, we should do so. We should do so. Generally, we have this response, I'm not a bank. I can't give loans. But if you're going to direct him to the bank, he is going to get involved in interest. Why within our own communities we can't have this, where we help and assist people? Another means in which we can help a person financially. A person starts up a business. He is just making ends meet. And he is selling something that we want, selling something that we desire. But the same commodity is available at the bigger shops. And it could be much cheaper also. But just in order to help him and assist him, just in order to help and assist this person who is trying to come up in life, we will buy it from him. We will purchase it from him. But at the same time, we do not need to make him hear that, you know, I could have got it cheaper elsewhere. You should thank me for giving you business in this way. No, we don't need to make him hear about it. We're helping him and assisting him for the sake of Allah. Together with that, we should not try and get extra discounts, make it cheaper, I can get it cheaper elsewhere. Our intention is to help and assist him. Just as how we would like to be helped and assisted, we would also help and assist others. So this is how we can assist financially. But in deen, together with financial assistance, many other forms of assistance we are taught. For example, emotional assistance. A person is sick, he is in hospital. Now he has great concern, he is anxious with regards to his condition. What is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When you visit a sick person, then فَنَفِّسُ لَهُ فِي الْأَجَلِ. Grant him hope with regards to his life. Grant him hope. Do not tell him that the person who was next to you, that neighbor in your bed, the neighboring bed, he had the same sickness as you this morning, he passed away. So you need to be careful now. You need to look after yourself. No. Grant him hope. فَنَفِّسُوا لَهُ فِي الْأَجَلِ. Grant him hope with regards to his life. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this will not change taqdeer in the least. What is meant to happen will definitely happen. But وَيُطَيِّبُ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ. But by you doing this, by speaking these kind words, by giving him hope of recovery, it will grant him happiness and peace at heart. At least you are bringing happiness to the heart of a believer. At the same time, even at the time of a calamity, a person goes through difficulty, a near and dear one of his passes away, or he lost some wealth in floods, in natural disasters, or some other means, and you go to him and you comfort him, you grant him peace at heart. Man azza musaban, that person who consoles a person who went through difficulty, he earns the same thawab and reward as the person who went through the difficulty. Who went through that difficulty, meaning he is getting so much of sawab and reward in the court of Allah by exercising that patience, by you going and sharing in the difficulty with him, by you going and consoling him at the time of his difficulty, you earn the same sawab and reward in the court of Allah. So one is financial assistance, one is emotional assistance. Then together with that, even defending the honor of a Muslim brother behind his back. So people are talking about a certain person. And we can also add our own masala. We can say, yeah, I knew he was like this. I knew he was like this. You should have seen what he done here, what he had done there. And now we begin to make the conversation even more, so to say, rosy. However, what is the teaching of Islam? What is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time when his honor is being tarnished? At that time when people are speaking ill behind his back, your duty, you should defend him. You should defend his honor. Just as how we understand a person's wealth and a person's blood is sacred. If a person's car is parked in the parking lot and we can see someone, a stranger, is interfering with the car, we're going to chase that person away as much as we can. We're going to stop that person. Why? That wealth of his, we understand it's something which is sacred. You can't just take someone else's car. Someone is going to take someone else's life. As much as we can, we're going to defend. We're going to defend his life. Why? You can't just kill someone. At the same time, even his honor is sacred in deen. Even his honor, his reputation is something which is sacred. Rasulullah says, that person who defends his Muslim brother in his absence, he defends his honor, he defends his reputation. كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُعْتِقَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it becomes the right of that person that Allah Ta'ala frees him from the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala frees him from the fire of Jahannam. Why? He was there to help and assist his Muslim brother at the time of need. Although it was not physically helping, but with regards to people speaking ill behind his back, he was there to defend his honor, he was there to defend his reputation. And then also another means of helping and assisting others is the means of the Anbiya alayhim wasalam, and that is spiritually. Spiritually helping someone, where a person is not connected to the masjid, he is not coming for that 5-time daily salah, we go up to him, we speak to him, we pick him up and bring him to the masjid for salah, we connect him to the masjid, we connect him to Allah. This is the what was the work of Anbiya alayhimu salam. So much of sawab, so much of reward. A person, he teaches someone else how to recite the Quran and Majid. The rest of his life, while this person recites the Quran and Majid, this person is earning so much of thawab and reward. You teach a person how to perform salah, his entire life he is performing salah, you earning thawab and reward. This was the work of the Anbiya alayhimu salam, to connect the creation to the Creator. To connect the creation to the Creator, we should also be involved in helping people in this manner. There are so many different avenues which we have open to us, in which we can help and assist others. Whether financially, whether physically, whether emotionally, whether through helping them in their deen, whether through helping them in any other way. These are all means which we can earn help and mercy from the side of Allah. By us being good to the creation, Allah Ta'ala will shower His kindness and mercy to us. And together with that, if we have this understanding, or we have this behavior amongst ourselves, where we will help and assist others, where we will conduct in such a way where it is not only my own well-being, rather I have a concern for the person next to me as well, then we will see in society there will be happiness, there will be harmony, there will be great peace. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.